Oh, praise God. You got your Bibles. Turn to anywhere. I mean, turn them to Psalm 61. A few weeks, months ago, one of our deacons, I think it was Dave, may have been Jeff, I can't remember. One of them got up and talked about Psalm 61. And it was a blessing to me on prayer meeting. And I want to give you something today. I believe it'll help you. How many of you in this room ever just feel overwhelmed? Just overwhelmed. Well, this is for you. Psalm 61. To the chief musician upon Nehemiah, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast been heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I want to speak to this morning from that verse, that little section in verse number 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, I want to preach on what to do when your heart is overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed, I studied it out quite in depth this week, means a place of darkness to cover yourself. It means to hide yourself. It means to fail, to faint, and to be feeble. Have you ever caught yourself in that direction? Your marriage may be overwhelmed this morning. Your ministry may be overwhelmed this morning. Your money situation may be overwhelmed this morning. You may be a member in this church this morning, just totally overwhelmed. Or maybe you're a lost person this morning who don't know where to turn. Can I tell you, I'm going to give you a recipe this morning that will give you help. What to do when you're overwhelmed? I'll give you 5 or 6 things. It's a help you if you'll listen. I've been overwhelmed. Have you ever been to a place you couldn't even hardly pray? You couldn't even hardly say a word? You were in somewhat of shock? What do you do when you get in that kind of position? Well, the writer here gives us several things. Number one, look in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. Number one, I think I'll just talk to God. This is going to be kind of simplistic, but see, some of the greatest truths in the Bible are simplistic, and we go right over top of them. Let me say this to you. When I talk about talking to God, this writer here, he said, when he said, hear my cry, he was just not muttering out just a little old prayer of feebleness. No, he was in agony. I'm going to say this, and I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to be misunderstood, so I'm going to say it slowly. We have almost become organizers and not agonizers. Don't get me wrong. A church of this stature, we better be organized. We got something going on all the time. I thank God for the staff, for the deacons, for all those that work with me to help us keep this thing running in the water and organized. But I want to tell you something, friend. A seminar can't give you something to help you when you're overwhelmed. Good. Listen, sometimes I'll say, well, if this happens, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I want you to know something. Ain't none of them work. But I'll tell you what will always work when you're overwhelmed. And that is that you agonize. The Bible said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I wonder how many of you this morning have been on your face before God. You know, the old timers used to do this. And I think maybe we ought to get back to it. You hear them out in the woods. You'd hear them in the church. Almost, I think we've got a little too dignified. They'd say something like this, oh God. Oh God, my God, have mercy. I want you to know I've got a God that will have mercy. I've got a God that will hear your cry. I've got a God that will listen to you when you call. Somebody help me right there. You know what some of you need this morning? You need a good talk to God. You need to not just do this little flimsy stuff that you've been used to doing. I mean, get on your face and pray to God and say, God, help my marriage. Help my family. Lord God, help my church. Help my pastor. Help our deacons, help our staff. Oh God, I beg you to bring a miracle in me. I'm overwhelmed. I can't handle my life's a mess. But we've even got organized in a prayer. We think we got a literator prayer. Lord God, have mercy. When's the last time you've just got on your face and said, God, I need you. I'm not getting love right here from you. I'm agonizing. I'm praying. I'm needing your help. Whew. I really believe this church is right here, ready to go over the top. I mean, really, look at this crowd this morning. And we got many people going today. It wouldn't take much us double this. And I know it's overwhelming to think we'd watch out and do something big. It overwhelms this old man. I'm 62 years old. Y'all's announcing Mark Reed's retirement there a while ago, and I started to ask Dave, can I? And I'm afraid he hit me on my arm. I'm not ready to retire, but I wouldn't mind refiring. And I get, I said, y'all know the needs this church has. This church has a many of them. We you need it. You got many needs, but I got a God, and we'll just talk to him. Amen. Number two, please stay with me. This will help you. Look in verse 4. Not only, just talk to God. Well, I think I'm going to get loose right here. I will abide in thy tabernacle. Number two, you need to tabernacle with God. I got to be honest with you. Are you looking at me right now? You need this place right here. This is where we tabernacle. That's where the body of the church comes and meets. And I will tell you, when I get overwhelmed, I tell you what I need. I just tell you what I need. I need to run into a place where there's some preaching. some preacher that has an old King James Bible and he's stroking that old Bible. I tell you what, there's been times I couldn't even hardly walk in church. And I got up here and got some help from my own preaching. Somebody, I'm going to get some right now. Somebody help me preach right there. I want you to know something. You can't find a better place than this, the tabernacle. Listen to me. You looking for a church? Right here's one. What's all the guesswork? Why are you not joining? Why aren't you in? Hello. And then, not only do I come in, I like coming in and hear some refreshing singing. For I tell you, I was refreshed this morning. I know what it's like. And man, I tell you, y'all come down on one of my favorite songs. I got about 75 of them. And I want to praise Him. I want to thank Him. You don't find that out the honky-tonk. You don't find that down there on MTV. You don't find a hello. You don't find that there on the CMA. Some of you, help me. And the CCN and all that other stuff. Poor old Tad, he's in that contemporary music. I've been working on him. And you don't find it in that. You find it in the old-timey stuff. Just get me into an old-timey church. Get me around some old-timey singing. Get me around some old-timey praying. Just get me around some old-timey praying. Somebody. And shout glory. The Bible said not to forsake your assemblies of yourself together. I was glad when they said, let us come to the house of the Lord. Paul, read when you go home. Somebody, one of the deacons, read this in devotion the other day. Psalm 78. I don't know which one, maybe it was, I don't know. And they was reading Psalm 78. They read the whole chapter. I read the rest of it. Now that Psalm, let me ask you if you ever feel this. Read Psalm 78. We now halfway depress you first few verses. You ever wonder why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Hello? That's where the psalmist was. But you always said down there in verse 16, I think of 78, he said, after him complaining and moaning and depressed, you know what he said? Then I came to the tabernacle of God. Listen to me, I was up there with my lazy boy praying and getting ready for church, and I wasn't expecting nothing, and I don't even know how to use these things. And oh, I was sitting there, and it was laying on my Bible, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 popped about 40 times. I said, Lord God, who wants me? But it just a whole class over here at the home builders sent me a text. Said, I love you. We're praying for you. You don't get that down there at some club. You don't get that. You don't get that anywhere. You don't even, sometimes we don't even get it at home. But I'll tell you where we get it. We come in tabernacle with God. Somebody help me right there. You just come in tabernacle. Don't you quit church. Some of you said, I just can't come to church. I've been down. That's when you need church. Number three. It's so simple, isn't it? Why won't we do it? Number three, not only do we talk to God, tabernacle with God, but then he says, I will, in verse 4, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Just trust God. Some of you are walking through valleys today. You're looking for all kind of remedies. You listen to me. You're looking for all kind of remedies. But I want to tell you something. It still comes back to one thing. Do you trust God? I mean, you could go ahead and have all you want to think about and have all this planned, but I want you to know, do you trust God? Doris, I know you didn't have a clue what was going to happen to you in the last 10 days. But all I can tell you, honey, is this morning, trust God. My buddy Denny McGrew came this close to the other world. Denny had a 99.5% blockage. They told him yesterday. Connie called me up and said, get him on the prayer line. You pray for me right now. And I prayed. And then I went to the hospital a little later. And she told me, she said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, he'd been dead. One of the main arteries were 99.5% plugged. And then he had two more arteries that they can't get to. They're smaller. They're going to have a bypass surgery. And I'm going to tell you, Connie was up there, brother at home, and went up and seen her. And then she was alone for a while, about 3:30. And I came in, tears running down her face. And I said, Connie, all we could do is trust in God. She said, bring us all been doing all day. I thought I was going to be alone. I thought it was going to be over. I want you to know it ain't over till God says it's over. Woo! You said, preacher, I don't want to do. Trust God. Preacher, I don't know where to turn. Trust God. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a high tower. Number four. Look in verse 7. This gets good, boy. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth. Keep the truth of God. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? I want you to know something, Brent. I'm having a hard time getting a hold of it, but I will. See this right here? This is truth. I have some knuckleheads. I hate to say that on TV, knuckleheads, but I'm going to anyway. Anybody says this is a knucklehead. I had one knucklehead the other day say, well, I don't come to a church that has a name on it. I said, huh? And by the way, if you want to come tonight, I'm preaching tonight on how you know what's the right church. You should join. And you should be a part. That's tonight. I can't wait. But just now go ahead and say, don't preach doctrine down there. That's why I don't come. I said, well, y'all do too. Just the difference between me and you is y'all got all kind and we got one. Lord God, I believe the truth. Somebody help me. I've been at this for a long time now. I'm on my 36th year here at the church and my 41st year in preaching. Can I tell you something? There ain't nothing that'll take you through life. And when you're overwhelmed, then the truth, the book, the blood, the blessed hope, the truth, the truth, the truth. And by the way, that's why some people don't come here, because they don't want to hear the truth. I can preach in the Bible. The truth. Aren't you glad you get the truth here? Aren't you glad when you've got all kinds, you're overwhelmed, you look in the Bible and it gives you truth for direction. Then it helps you be determined. Whew. Glory. Somebody help me. I hope this goes out all over the state, because I know some of them went the other way. There's some churches, do you know, there's some Baptist churches. I know one in particular had a seminar. Used to be an old-fashioned King James church. And had a seminar for about 3 or 4 days while the King James Bible wasn't the Word of God. And the son of the pastor got up on Wednesday night and mocked everybody that used the King James Bible. Called them redneck. Well, you're looking at one. Hello? You're looking at one. I see Miss Grayley. I'm going to say hi while I'm preaching. God bless you, Miss Grayley. You're looking at one. It's the truth. Hey, some of you are listening to anything and follow anything. God bless you. The Word of God is the only thing that will take you through. Hey, when I feel alone, the Bible said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I can trust that. When I feel forsaken, I was young and I'm now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can you get a hold of that? That's the truth. I'm going somewhere. Okay, I'm good. Hey, God. Anybody getting any help this morning? Now let me give you this one. In verse number 8. So will I sing praises unto thy name. I'm going to telegraph praise to God. So will I sing praise. You know praising God's healthy for you. Just healthy. By the way, it reverences God, the sovereign God. You go ahead and praise God. That just tells everybody in the world that you're praising Him. I tell you what, it also does. It refreshes the saints. Oh, hey, man. How many of y'all got a little bit of tinkling up your back there when that song and everybody starts shouting and praying here at the altar and everything? Let me tell you something, son. I was shouting on the inside, wanting to take a little run, but they told me I can't do that right now. Somebody told me they're going to put, one of the deacons said they're going to get my son to build a net under here in case I take a notion. Now, I ain't see 2,000 a young squirt like that's going to do it, but I ain't doing it. But let me tell you something. I am going to praise. Let me ask you something. How good has he been to you? How faithful has he been to you? Is it worth you praising him? I just want to ask you, is it worth you praising him? I mean, how much of a friend has he been to you? How worthy is he anyway? Some of you ought to jump out of your seat shouting for what he's done for you. He saved your old soul. He's taking you to heaven. And by the way, you're getting some good benefits on the way. I praise him. Woo! I got all them texts while ago, Dave. Go ahead. Let her out, son. Praise him. Woo! Anybody else just want to have a spell? I'll take a minute off. Some of us need to. Some of us, I don't understand this. Lord God, yes, we're overwhelmed, but just praise him. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything. I'm not for somebody dying. I'm not for a heart attack. But I can praise him in it. Let me give you one more. I'm doing good. Boy, this last one. When you're overwhelmed. By the way, anybody can serve God when they're on the mountain. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said the test of real success is not what you've done, but what it takes to stop you. That's true character. Listen to me. Before you get out of here, all hell's going to be thrown at you. I've had a photo of me. You've had a photo of you. Good Lord. Do you not think all hell ain't going to come after a church that's doing what we're doing? I thought, I don't know if it's my fault, but I was up in that tree. You know, I feel so much better. And I said, my son said, get in the blind. I said, I climb up that tree. Climbed up that tripod tree you stand. With a crossbow. I'm legal, by the way. And got up there and I better trust God. Praise God. Because I let that thing off and I was in a goofy position and hit my hand and cut it from here to here. And he said 99% of the time my thumb been off. It's all but off. It was bleeding. Blood was everywhere. I fell. And the only thing that kept me from falling 12 feet was I grabbed a hold of the... uh, But I'm going to praise Him. I could have been all the way down. I could have been thumbless. What a mess. But I'll praise Him. He sent an angel up there to help me up. Well, glory. I'm too fat to get up. And he took care of me. Somebody help me. Have you ever been in a predicament? I got on my... I don't even know how to text. I don't even know what I said to my son. I just said, come here, help me. I'm hurt. He comes up through there and he said, you'll be all right, you're all right. I said, my thumb's about to fall off. You know how James is, Brad. He can tell others everything's fine, but you know how he is. But him, you know, you can tell him it's fine. He ain't going to look at you. Are you be all right, Dad? Hand me the bow. Well, I handed him the bow. He said, then I had to crawl out of that tripod stand. You ever seen that? Looked like some imbecile. I come down out of there. Can't hold on with this hand. So I come down with one hand. Then I pulled the glove off. Blood went everywhere. James about passed out. Then he got me over to the house and sprayed water on it. He said, oh, God, that is bad. And blood come again. And I said, I'm going to bleed to death if you don't do something. He wrapped it up and said, and the finger was pointing, that thumb was pointing that way. He said, I believe it's broke too. Yeah, it's broke twice. But guess what? Guess where I was Wednesday night? Church. Guess where I am this morning? You think I'm going to have a double break in my thumb and a cut my thumb keep me from the house of God? You're out of your mind. I'm coming to praise Him this morning. And woo! You say, why are you holding it up? Because it hurts if I do that. Hey, I'm praising Him this morning. You ought to praise Him. How many times you could have lost your life, but God spared you and watched over you. Hallelujah. Lastly, I'm done. Y'all get any help yet? So I'll sing praise unto thy name forever. Listen. That I may daily perform my vows. Write this down. You need to, when you're overwhelmed, you need to totally commit yourself to God. There's been some times, and you know this. How many of you have been some time you didn't even want to walk out of the church or go to work the next day? Come on. But I want to tell you something. Let me give y'all something. Cole, I don't care how overwhelmed you are. You better hear this truth. You better seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and put the Lord first. I'm talking about totally committing yourself to God. I'm going to tell you there have been times I didn't feel like coming up here. Today I don't feel like a spring chicken. But I think I'm doing all right. Listen, you look at me. My job's preaching. Dave told me, why was you out to work Friday? Because I needed to be with some of my church members. And why did I go yesterday to the hospital? Because I needed to be with my church family. Yes, it is. I may not be the best, but I tell you what I am. I'm totally committed to what I'm doing. I haven't lost one minute. I'm committed. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. I'm a mess most of the time, but I want you to look at me when you're overwhelmed, when you feel like you can't go on. Just commit yourself. I'm going to do right. I'm going to tithe anyway, even though the money's low. I'm going to come to church every service. I'm going to call the pastor and encourage him and have him encourage me. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm committed. You know why you almost quit all the time? And I've been there before. It's because your commitment level gets a little low. You're looking at your problems instead of looking to God. That's easy to do. I want to ask you a question. How committed are you to God? Are you totally? Is he first? Your family second? and your church third. I did not say the church before your family, did I? That's what's wrong today. A lot of people put everything before their family. Only one before your family is God. And the church won't hurt a bit if you're totally committed to God, your family, because you'll be committed to a place that'll help you. Are you here with me?